Welcome back to the Cine Club podcast. I'm Jake.
I'm Dion.
I'm Billy.
And I'm Reese.
This week, we're going back to the arcade to cover some films based on video games. Adaptations of this medium typically have a bad reputation, but is that deserved? We would like to find out.
So why not work through these chronologically and start with some examples from when studios weren't really sure what to make of this new high-tech fad?
Suppose it's worth shedding a little bit of light on some of the earliest examples from the 80s, like Tron and The Last Starfighter, which worked video game concepts into their plot without necessarily adapting a pre-existing game. Now, both fun examples in their own right, but more specifically, how about some of the game adaptations from the 90s?
Well, there's one I think everyone would love to talk about.
Yes.
It's the Mario movie.
Yeah. Fair enough. That's not where I thought that was going.
I was going to say Mortal Kombat, but to be honest, I want to start with Mario film for many reasons. Because I watched recently, but also it's pretty pants, but also not as bad as people make out to be.
I think it's good, yeah.
I don't think it's the worst film of all time.
It's really not. I really like it. I think it's cool. I think it just suffers from being called the Super Mario Brothers movie. If it was just called something else
instead of Plumber's Adventures in Underground,
Undertale
the movie.
Undertale the movie.
That's a better idea for us.
Yeah, but then that would have to suggest that Undertale has like the main character who's just a grumbly old like man.
Well, to be honest, that's what Deltarune's kind of becoming.
True. Yeah, but anyway, yeah.
Back to Mario.
I don't know. It's such a weird film, but I think it is really cool. And I think it's, I mean, even in the sense of it being a Mario film, like I know you could tell they were really trying. Like they do have all of the names.
It's Blade Runner, but with Mario.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I mean, it is that weird dystopian sort of future reality thing, but also underground in parallel. I don't know. I can't describe it. It's such a weird film. But
it holds a very special place in my heart in the world of game films.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching it with my mom and dad when I was like 7 or something.
Yeah,
as a kid.
I was like, oh my god,
they made a film about Mario? I'm like, oh my god. And I was really happy about it. And then I watched it. I was like, oh, they made a film about Mario. Yeah, they did. Wow.
How'd you know?
Even then I could tell that was complete
nothing. I knew it was weird, when I watched it when I was young, it was around the same time I was watching like the 90s Ninja Turtles films, which have the very, very similar sort of vibe and that kind of weird, gritty, low budget, we don't know how to adapt this thing, but we're going to try anyway, like kind of vibe
but
to
not
it.
Crap.
So, but yeah, I mean, Ninja Turtles is way better, but still, I think the Mario movie has that vibe. And I mean, yeah, it's just, I don't know, because it's like, like I say, a lot of it is just names. Like they use a lot of names from the games that have no equivalent. Like they have like some of the shops are called like Bullet Bills, and they have the whole weird thing
Is Bullet Bills like a gun shop? Do you think?
What's
the city called? Is it Koopa City?
Yeah, no, it has another name, but
it's ruled by
King Koopa, played marvelously by Dennis Hopper. But Dennis Hopper doing that thing with his arms because he thought that he was just told to be a dinosaur, so he starts like walking.
Dennis
around,
Hopper
like,
has some insane performances. I haven't seen it, but he's the same in Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah,
he's insane in that as well. He's like a sheriff or something. He's a complete nutcase.
He's just a nut. I would love to do a double bill of Blue Velvet and Super Mario Bros. Because it's that sort of unhinged.
Monkey! I can't believe I didn't mention Blue Velvet there as well for insane performances.
That's arguably the insane then, Dennis Hopper performance.
But then you have probably one of my favorite actors in it, who plays Mario.
Yeah, Bob Hoskins.
Who, by the way, I believe there was a whole rumor myth that when they were filming, he had to get drunk.
Yeah, I don't think that was a myth.
I believe it fully.
I get the impression from what he said it was the worst experience he's ever had making a film, because they were basically pulling an Avengers Doomsday and writing the script as they were filming it. So they would be giving them new sheets of by the way, this is what we're filming today. This was never in the script before. Work with it. Good luck, basically. And I mean, they all said it was awful, and I mean, I don't think any of them were surprised that it got panned.
I think John Leguizamo, the guy who plays Luigi, quite liked it, I heard, but I might be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, was he the one who broke his arm, or was it Bob Hoskins? I can't remember which one. Because halfway through the film, one of them's in the cast. Yeah. They don't mention it at all.
I think you're right, actually. One of them definitely got injured.
I think it was Bob Hoskins.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was Bob Hoskins, given the shit they make him do in that film. But, it's so funny.
It starts the trend, I think, as well, of the not really knowing how to adapt a game and like make it a full-on world. So they this is the real world. Then they go into the game world. Then the game world comes into the real world. What?
This was kind of like the original one that did that. Uh-huh. And to be fair, there wasn't many at the time that did that. Most of them did, this is just in the world of the games. Like Mortal Kombat, we'll get onto that. That is very much just the plot of the video game, but as a film. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is like, there is no plot in the video game, really, so we're just going to have to try and make something of it, but...
I feel like if you're looking at the original Mario games, I feel like there still is a tiny
bit...
It's a fella, he's running about the place, he's trying to save a princess,
pretty much.
And there's a big lizard. It's quite a straightforward thing they could have done, rather than make him into, like, evil businessman, half lizard, half... human.
Yeah.
Is it Mario who has a love interest in this movie, or is it Luigi?
It's Luigi, it's sort of both of them. I think Mario has... Isn't Mario got like a wife or something in this?
he looks like he's married and got a mortgage.
They're like 30 years apart, because I think there's like the bit at the start, they go for like a double date, and it's Mario's wife and Luigi's new girlfriend, who is Princess Daisy, rather than Princess Peach, which was another thing that confused
Is Peach not in the film as well?
Peach isn't in this film as far as I'm aware.
No, I think it's Daisy. Sure. It's a Daisy type character.
Yeah. Someone else?
There's also... the Dennis Hopper, King Cooper's like wife is Fiona Shaw, and I can't remember what the name of that character is, but she's like the sort of the evil, not an evil princess, but you know what I mean. She's like the sort of the girl bad guy.
Yeah.
Talking about bad guys though.
Go on.
Can we all talk about one of the worst designs in the whole movie?
Well, are we talking about the Goombas? Because there's a lot to pick from.
There's a character, you know, Big Bertha, the big fish.
I was going to say that. Yeah, like that's another thing where they drop the name and then it's like, oh, Big Bertha, like the evil fish from Mario 3, and there's just like a big woman. Like it's
does she eat people? Does she swim? What does she do?
She just looks like
she's just fat. Yeah, that's kind of it.
It's just one big fat joke, because there's a bit where Bob Hoskins goes, "Oh, hello, lady," and she's like, massive, you got like a big size.
Yeah, he has to do like a dance with her to like steal her key or something, and then she gives him the thwomp boots. I sound like demented describing the events of this film.
And then like the only video game character in the whole movie is just the Bomber Bombs, but even then it's just
the
Bomber
Bomb is brilliant though. I love that. He's got the Bomber Bomb, and it goes under the thing, and you can see it's got Reeboks on. There's like little tiny Reebok logos on the shoes.
And then there's a whole weird story where like... the Bowser character wants to turn people into monkeys.
Yes, he does.
He goes to the real world and he just turns like, I believe, is it the president or something
like that? It's the mayor or the president or some important person.
I haven't seen many of these older video game adaptations, but it just seems to be a common thread that they're a bit insane and play fast and loose with what it is.
Mario's definitely the biggest like... culprit of that though, because
100%,
Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, they're all fighting games. They've all got real people in who speak and have voice lines sometimes.
Totally, yeah.
And
sometimes
there is a plot around it. There's like fighting tournament. Anyone can get behind a good tournament movie, right?
Well, that's the thing with Mortal Kombat.
Tekken.
That movie is basically just, it's the whole game plot was ripped off from Enter the Dragons. And when you watch the film, it's basically just a remake of Enter the Dragon, but with these fucking ninjas and like all these cool, colorful characters. Uh-huh. I'll get onto that because I do love that movie. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's that concept. But exactly, tournament movies, they're done and done. Everyone's seen one. Everyone's seen Enter the Dragon. So it's just that, but with like fireballs and shit instead of just regular
instead
martial arts.
Instead of Bruce Lee. Yeah,
and like dragging people backwards on ropes a lot.
Bruce Lee, that's sad. But yeah, I mean, the Mario movie is just... I just think it's cool because there's just nothing else like it. And I mean, like you say, the fact it looks like Blade Runner, that is entirely true because it was the same production design. Mm-hmm. Like, it was literally the same guy who did... That's why it has such a cool visual style, and it looks way cooler than it has any right to. It doesn't look cool when you picture what a Mario movie would look like. You wouldn't think, oh, this kind of... you know, exactly like what that movie looks mm-hmm. like. But there's like, but I mean, I think I've mentioned it before, but like the little details, like the fact that in this alternate reality, because like the dinosaurs still exist, there's no such thing as fossil fuels. So all the cars run on like electricity and they have like dodgem lines connecting. And it's like,
it's such a good concept.
It's such a great idea.
It's just wasted. If it came out as a standalone thing and it was called like Adventures in the Underground or whatever.
Yeah,
Then it would be a cult classic to this day.
Oh, 100%. Right? Yeah, it's so weird. But
would have been my Fin the Club pick.
Still can be.
I don't really want to pick
it. I do want to watch it again because I rewatched it for the first time since I watched it, you know, as a kid, like mm-hmm. last year or something. And I really did think, oh, I'm going to hate this when I go back to it. But I really liked it because it's just so weird and different. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Right. Okay. Mortal Kombat, what do you think?
I think it's the greatest video game movie of all time.
I would struggle to argue with that, to be honest.
But Sonic 3 is good.
Yeah,
Mortal Kombat on rewatch might be the funniest film I've seen.
It's not even that
it's so good.
Like, it's not even that good either. It's just so like ridiculously perfect for what Mortal Kombat was at that time, where it was like, I know it's the whole thing now about like hype moments and aura, like mm-hmm. and how stupid that is. But this movie really does that before it's that was also, even a thing. Like, it's so cool.
It's also 30 years old.
It's the 30th anniversary of Mortal Kombat, the movie.
What era was Mortal Kombat in when this film came out?
This was when Mortal Kombat 2 or 3 was going out.
Okay, so we're still cardboard cutout people.
Yeah.
By nature, exactly.
So pretty much the film took ideas from the first game.
It's effectively the plot of the first game with
Shang Tsung.
With a few bits and pieces from Kombat 2. I can't really remember. Was Reptile in Mortal Kombat?
Reptile was in Mortal Kombat 2.
That was 2,
I
think.
But he was a regular dude.
But he was, exactly.
He wasn't a regular dude in this. In the movie.
They made him
a very bad CGI monster, and it's the worst CGI you could ever see, but I love it.
I think that's probably my favorite part of the whole movie, because they have the whole thing where he's like, watch them for me, Reptile, and there's like this terrible CGI lizard thing running around. And then it like follows them all the way through the movie, and you see it and you're like, all right, that'll lead to something. You forget about it. And then it like comes out of the wall and Liu Kang's there, and then it turns back into like a human fighter. It's so stupid.
So he's like a werewolf then?
Effectively, yeah. He then turns into Reptile, like the, you know, the
Reptile
ninja.
Reptile the man.
And then they have that awesome fight scene where like Liu Kang's kicking him through walls and everything. And anyway, but yeah, there's like that's basically it. This movie lives or dies by its fight scenes.
The action scenes, I think, are really good because I believe the person who played, not Shang Tsung, but Liu Kang?
Liu Kang.
I believe he was
Robin
proper
Shu
martial artist. We've done films after this. But he was probably my favorite part of the whole movie.
He's awesome, yeah. He's like really cool.
Which,
but like,
I believe, I know I'm off topic a bit, but both Shang Tsung and Liu Kang's actors were in the Tekken movie because they were that good. Yeah.
Oh, right.
But, okay, so they got scouted in Mortal Kombat. But that's the thing, you get a bit of a mix because you get those two who are like proper martial artists. And then you get the Johnny Cage guy, who I forget what the actor's called.
Is he famous?
I don't think he's been in anything else. But
that's
he's really
cast
good.
Someone famous as Johnny Cage. I would do that.
And
well, yeah,
the
exactly.
guy who plays Kano, by the way, was actually lied about his accent.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he lied. He said he was Australian, but he was actually British.
Oh God!
But he lied, and it caused a whole controversy. But
this the first time that Kano had the Australian accent?
Yeah, he didn't even have an accent at all.
I thought that they just invented that whole trait for this movie. But anyway. My only problem with
problems.
There are very few problems, but the one that everybody says should have happened, which they try to fix in the new one, is at no point do Scorpion and Sub-Zero fight each other. They basically do the whole thing where it's like, oh, these are like the bad guys, and then they do like one fight scene with the hero per bad guy, which takes up like the middle, so pretty much the second mm-hmm. act of the film.
And that's just the format of the game, essentially.
But I think that's how they adapted, that's exactly what the game is like.
I think the only big cast in the film, I know, the only big cast in this film is Christopher Lambert.
Oh God, Christoph. Yeah,
which
Christopher
I'm sorry, but I think it's my favorite part just because of the dialogue he does.
I don't understand why he thought it would be a good idea to do the sort of weird gremlin voice for Raiden, because at no point was that like a thing. I mean, I know that's just kind of the way he talks, but like, He's so weird in this movie. He's normally weird, but he's he's especially weird in this film.
Compared to what the video game version sounds like, I'm very sad they didn't just do that with him. Because well, I don't really know why
he doesn't really have the hat. Does he have the hat?
He does get the hat.
He does get the hat eventually.
Does he do the thing?
Like what? The
flying thing.
Does
he do that?
A tiny bit. He's not really in the film as much.
He doesn't do it like the game where he scrolls the screen for you and he like flies towards you.
In the film, he's just, it's kind of funny because they do outright call him out at the end. But like,
they call him out, what's he done?
Nothing. That's exactly
the
problem.
He
brings them all there to basically do his bidding. Uh-huh. He like says, by the way, you guys are good fighters. Can you fix this world ending problem? That's going to be a pain for me.
And then
like
they kind of go at the end where it's like, oh, did you think we could do it? And he goes, ha ha ha.
Yeah, he's basically like, no, I thought you were all going to die. And they're all just like, oh, brilliant. Well, cheers, Raiden, asshole.
And then at the end, you have the Shao Kahn, like just.
Yeah, because then. And then Shao Kahn comes out of the sky, and it, like I say, it's just the video game. Basically.
And there was
that's
no sequel
like.
After that.
Yeah, and then we forget about what happened after.
Oh,
that,
but, Annihilation is so bad.
I've never seen Annihilation, but yeah,
they,
Mortal
they
Kombat.
Kill off, they kill off Johnny Cage after in the first 5 minutes.
So stupid. I do think the first film is guilty pleasure. Yes, it's not exactly high art, but yeah. I think the fact that it's so high energy, it's so 90s, the music's really good if you like that kind of music like I do, and it's just dumb fun and I love it. I've rewatched it a few times and it's always very entertaining, as is Street Fighter the movie.
There we go.
Starring Jean-Claude Van Damme.
It was a Tuesday.
It was which is another one. I think this one's less good because it's also trying to adapt the video game, but unlike Mortal
they
Kombat.
I forgot his name. Ghouli? The one who played Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Ghouli!
Ghouli!
Guile!
Ghouli!
Where?
To be honest, that's how he bloody acts.
He acts like a ghouli. What are you talking about?
Dion, explain yourself, please. He's the main character in it, and he's the most boring main character.
He's awful. He's so bad in this movie, but I think the problem is, unlike Mortal Kombat, where they knew what it was and they just tried to adapt it without trying to make it anything flashy, this film effectively, they sort of were like, oh, Street Fighter, we can't just have a load of street fights, that would be boring. Mm-hmm. So then they kind of like make this like weird fictional war happen. It's like the super. I'm gonna compare.
Superman.
It's like Superman. It's exactly
the
like
makeup
that.
Countries to
the
make people fight.
Makeup countries to make them fight. Basically, so they have the whole Shadaloo versus I can't remember who. It's so stupid.
They also get like famous. It's probably the most like famous actory film. Like because there's people.
There's a lot of people in it who were probably really famous at the time, but aren't that famous now. The only ones that are still kind of household names
Ming
are...
Ming-Na Wen's big.
Ming-Na Wen, because she is in that Boba Fett TV show and quite a few different things. She's really cool in this film as Chun-Li. Jean-Claude Van Damme as Guile.
Raul Julia, who passed away, but absolutely steals the show in this.
He's so good in this film, and it's ridiculous because he was like literally dying of cancer when he made.
Didn't
this
he want
film.
To make it the best for his kids?
I've yeah, that he, story, yeah. And that's he's exactly why he did it. Yeah,
and then you have an Australian actress playing a British character,
Kylie Minogue. She's not even actress though. She's just Kylie Minogue.
Well,
the
she
singer.
Wasn't an actress here because remember she became popular
she was on Neighbours and stuff. Yeah, but you wouldn't watch Neighbours and go, oh dude, she'd be so good in that Street Fighter
movie. She was really,
movie,
she was pretty alright in the film, even if I do.
She's fine.
Find it weird that they didn't get a British actress to play Cammy, she's Australian, which...
She doesn't really do anything in the film, to be from what I can remember, anyway.
The only ones who do really, like, anything is pretty much M. Bison.
Yeah, Bison is the coolest, and to be fair, like I say, they don't really try to adapt it too much, but that final fight scene... When it's Guile versus Bison in like his lair, they like do the moves from the game in live action, and normally it would look really stupid, but it actually looks really good in this particular film, and so that part's great. But the issue is around that fight, there's like all of these like guys running in with guns, uh-huh. and there's like boat fights and like car chases, and it's like, why is this in a Street Fighter movie?
I do always like it when. in these like fictional universes, the average guy has a gun, but then the main characters all have like melee weapons and swords, and that, and they're just that good at sword that they beat gun. You know,
exactly that. They don't need guns.
I like that concept, but when you're having a Street Fighter movie, you want as few nameless soldiers as you can.
That's it. You don't need those nameless soldiers. I don't care about the war really.
There's another character I really like, Zangief.
Zangief's so funny in this movie, but...
You remind me because thinking nameless soldier, thinking, oh yeah, Zangief.
Zangief, yeah. I don't know if he's a nameless soldier. No,
he feels like he's just part of that gang in the film. And
he does have probably the best, well, the best line in the film other than the one you were quoting earlier where he's... where they're all watching like the news report and there's like an army coming to the base where they're all hiding and they're like, oh no, there's a big van coming and they're all coming to kill us, and Zangief just goes, quick, change the channel. They all just like look at him and it's like so stupid.
It's like, early YouTube poop kind of stuff.
It's just like, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, this is one of it's silly, but it is quite fun. And the fight, some of the fights are really good. I think my issue is Ryu and Ken don't really do anything, and to me they're like the main characters of Street Fighter.
They're on the front of every box.
Exactly.
Ryu's the Street Fighter guy.
But they probably just didn't want to do anything with those two because they were like, oh well, Guile, let's get an American guy. Uh-huh. Let's do some American
stuff.
Which
hopefully they don't make him the main character in the new one.
Because it's not Cody
Rhodes.
Is Cody Rhodes playing Guile?
Yeah,
the new
they've
one?
Said that.
I mean, the new one, I'm not really paying that much attention to. It's kind of what's happening. It was originally going to be
directed by the guys who made the like McDonald's weird things with Ronald McDonald.
What?
Yeah, it was going to be them, the YouTube videos.
Raka Raka, yeah. Or whatever. Yeah, but they're too busy making horror films, aren't they? So
supposedly it was going to be very good, but we don't know.
We don't know. Well, we'll just have to wait and find out. But in the meantime, Street Fighter from the 90s. It's a fun film. Mortal Kombat is better, but it's a product of the time. I think it's quite fun in its way.
Yeah. So, some of these films can definitely be considered guilty pleasures, but they never quite reach the same success that the source material promised. So, do we think the modern landscape of video game films is improving things?
Not really.
No.
Same shit, different wipe.
Yeah, you've got your interesting term, but, you know, it gets the job done. it's very hit or miss. They're doing more of them now, though, so, like, it's more obvious that it's hit or miss.
Yeah, the chances of there being more better ones is kind of inevitable just because there is more of them. But
for every Sonic 3 or whatever, you've got Borderlands or Monster Hunter.
Or Resident Evil.
Yeah, well, like I say, I haven't seen most of them. So I haven't seen any of the Resident Evil ones.
It's bad.
So there's like two eras of modern game films, I think. There's the 2000s.
The 2000s, with
W.S. Anderson, him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The Mortal Kombat guy.
He did Mortal Kombat as well.
He did, of course.
Why do people keep handing the games out to him? It's so frustrating.
I think because Mortal Kombat made like loads of money, so they probably just thought, let's just give them all to this guy. It's always
the Japanese companies as well that gave the films to him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Because Minecraft wasn't his. Thankfully.
I can only begin to imagine how good a Paul W.S. Anderson version of
the Minecraft coming in the real world explosions thing again. But so there's that era, and then you have the resurgence with Sonic, and then everything since then.
Would you say Sonic was the one who started the resurgence?
I can't really think of anything else before.
There's a weird in-betweeny period where there's nothing.
I think I would argue Detective Pikachu slightly because that came before.
That's just whatever.
It's whatever, but I think that was the one that everybody started going, oh, actually, Nintendo's letting them do video game films. That could mean something because that was the first time they'd let anyone else really handle their properties in like 20 years since the Mario movie. But I think
for me, I'm very hit or miss with both eras because 2000s, you have the Lara Croft films, which are like,
oh, they're quite funny.
They're funny. They're pretty good. We had like Daniel Craig and stuff. Then you have Silent Hill, which is a hot take. I think it's probably up there in my top five video game films because as a film, it's pretty good.
Fair enough. I've not seen it.
But then you have like awful films. You've got the Resident Evil, Postal.
Why did they pick Postal?
What is post-level?
So you know how to postal? I've never heard of postal.
It's based on the phrase. I think it's either the phrase came from the game, or the game came from the phrase "going postal," where like you essentially just like crash out and just smash shit.
It's also very offensive.
Yeah, it's a very offensive 2000s game. Postal 2 is the more beloved one.
Right.
So essentially, your only main objective in the game is to like deliver a letter to the postbox.
But you have a massive sandbox
where you can do You don't even have to. You can just do it normally. But there's so much stuff you can do in the game, like you can like just piss on people, you can kill people, you can do like all the insane sandbox stuff you can do. So it's an experiment, like the restraint of the player, because you could finish the game in like 2 seconds.
But there's so many people would choose not to. Exactly. And just go
like,
and say and they adapted that into
Uwe Boll was the one who directed it. Like, it was after he did the House of the Dead film and the House of the Dead film.
I completely forgot that that was
so
a
the
thing
only
as well,
thing like, I remember about that is there's a bit where they're attacking the zombies, it would just cut to the video game.
Yes, seriously.
Are you, oh my god, wow. How did I not know about
this? It was made like 2 pence budget. That's by far the worst of them.
It probably had a like lower budget than the video game.
And then like in the 2010s you had like Hitman Agent 47.
Oh, Hitman was a thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think that was all, well, I haven't seen it, but the reception around it seems okay.
It blows my mind sometimes when I Google and I realize just how many video game films there actually are that you don't even know.
Because if you're not in the loop around the game, if you're not in the fandom, it just goes.
You got Need for Speed the movie.
Oh, I remember that with Aaron Paul.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Aaron Paul was in that.
Kind of sucked, but I remember that. And I mean, I've never played Need for Speed. But
I would say the resurgence. I do agree with Sonic.
Yeah, but Sonic was the one I think that brought everyone's attention back.
Pikachu. I don't even understand how it brought everyone's attention back, because the first ones, I'm leaving that good.
It's just hot.
It's whatever.
I think it was because it was okay.
it's fine.
No, the reason why everybody paid attention to that was if you were there when that first trailer came out.
Well, yeah,
everything, all of the attention that spawned, that basically brought the entire world's media to converge on the Sonic franchise. That was a awful time to be a Sonic fan, by the way. I hated that.
Was there
entire
ever a good
time?
There's
never a good
time
to be a Sonic fan.
The 2019, 2018 like years of Sonic was bad.
It was desperate, but that whole thing where everybody was like, oh, you know, like, because they announced it in like 2017 or something. Mm-hmm. I knew it was going to be a thing, and I was thinking, oh, Sonic movie, this is going to be so good. And that first trailer came out, you know, everybody knows what happened. It was terrible.
Ugly Sonic, yeah.
Ugly Sonic. Uh-huh. I gaslit myself into thinking it wasn't that bad. I was like, no, seriously, guys, it's really okay.
Phantom
it could
menacing.
Be worse. It was awful. And like I say, it was everywhere. You couldn't open any social media without seeing an Ugly Sonic meme.
Yeah.
And it was so bad that they literally postponed the movie to change the design, which never happens.
People try to do it for everything since as well.
That's true. I think it's definitely caused this awful thing now where people like seem to just complain about everything way more because they think they have
the studios can change.
Yeah,
because
they think they have the power. Like fair play to Paramount, because they could have quite easily. I mean, you know, this is the studio that made all of the live action Transformers films and got lots of criticism.
Yeah,
they could have quite easily just ignored everyone and made that movie anyway. But you could tell that the team actually cared.
To be honest, what was very interesting is the director of that film, Jeff Fowler, actually directed CGI cutscenes in the game.
Yeah, he did, which I'd forgot about. So he did
the Shadow the Hedgehog cutscene.
And he let that model slide still.
I think
it wasn't his fault. I think it was mostly Paramount. He was put on it. Paramount pushed it because they wanted a realistic look.
I suspect foul play, to be honest. Part of me does think that the whole thing like was just...
I think
it was done intentionally, but
I don't know how intentional it could have been when there was like
the merch
and the models that they were using while filming.
Well,
it.
To be honest, Sonic wasn't really having a good decade in the 2010s.
Yeah, granted. I mean, it was all going downhill anyway, but still, there was no way that they thought that was ever going to be a good idea. But point is, they changed it. It looks much better. The film is good. I like it. I think
and the franchise was saved, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. It's actually been...
Sonic fans breathed a collective sigh of relief there.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they were so close being like Bubsy. Uh-huh.
That was it. It was. Yeah. I think that if that film had came out and been terrible and made like no money and everybody panned it, it would have probably been the final nail in the coffin for the franchise. I genuinely think that. But it was not, thankfully.
I think it's part of some general like... trend we've seen in animation, because Spider-Verse came out, right?
Yes.
And that was a film that had a style to it, and an animated style, not like just trying to imitate realism, right?
Yeah.
Whereas before, studios like Paramount, like you said, try their best to get people on board with animation by saying, look, it looks so real. Look how we can make things look real.
Look at all the ratchets on Optimus Prime. Like, look at all that detail. We spent $3 million on this.
Then we went, oh, wait, what if it's stylized and we actually like it and it's animated, it's art, instead of just being, what if you spray painted a hedgehog blue and forced it to stand on tiny legs, you know?
Exactly that,
like,
yeah.
And I think that really kicked off this trend, thinking, okay, we can make things goofy and fun and, like, animated and people still like them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, then, totally. I think that's the thing with the Sonic movies. They are very true to, like, the franchise in the sense that, I mean, I know they are quite cheesy and they are, but, you know.
I think that's an understatement.
They definitely aim towards younger audiences.
They're kids' films, that's the thing. But they're kids' films, but I think many, like, other generations do enjoy them. I think they are, you know, you can watch it and be like, oh, it's a kids' film. But at the same time, the fact that it's a kids' film, but it's still a Sonic film, if you know what I mean. Like, I watched it and I'm like, oh, you know, there's some dumb jokes, but at the same time, look at all these fun references, and oh, this is exactly how they should behave. This is, you know, that's something you don't really see. You didn't see that in video game films for years. They just weren't really
that true. I do think another video game film, which makes me very interested to see what you guys think, the animated Mario movie.
Oh, yeah. I really like that one. I love that one.
I've got a hot take. I did not like it.
Really?
I think I've said this earlier, I don't rewatch. I think the film, while having references for me, I like a good meaty story in it, and I would say the Mario movie from the 90s, the better story than the original, because...
It's the same excuse we give to us to Sonic, it's kids film. And like, you know, it's the first proper Mario film.
Yeah.
And, you know, it gets all the basics down. He goes there, he's got to rescue someone. Yeah. You know, you've got all the supporting cast, you've got all the iconic, you've got Rainbow Road, Mario Kart.
It looks like Mario. Yeah, it looks like a Mario film. It looks like Mario,
It's nothing groundbreaking, and it's just like, it's got the generic animated cast, but it's fun enough.
I think anybody, like, people calling it sourceless are missing the point, because if they had gone... Because they did go wild in the opposite direction.
It's not even sourceless.
It's not. No, it looked exactly...
I love the animation. It's the animation, compared to what Illumination does, is absolutely perfect.
Yeah, how did Illumination do that, by the way?
They are quite
a good studio. It's just everybody associates
them. It's similar to Blue Sky.
They make Minion instead of good.
They're talented with animation. It's just most of the time they make pretty terrible films.
That's true.
So, like, you know, the first Despicable Me was quite good. The first two, to be fair, I quite like the first two.
I love Despicable Me too.
Minions is whatever, and then the rest of them are just a bit rubbish. But, you know, Mario's good, and that's probably because of Nintendo having such a massive hand in...
They put a gun behind their heads.
To the point where it's like on the poster, it's Illumination and Nintendo.
Yeah, it's like they were totally involved, which is cool. You know, I like the fact that they're not scared of doing it, but at the same time, they're not too relaxed where they'll let them do whatever, and I feel like that's why I have a smidgen of confidence that this live action Zelda film might be good.
I was just thinking the same.
It's by Sony, so we'll see.
We'll see. But
it doesn't really matter what studio it's by, because if Nintendo have got their hand in it, they're not gonna let any studio make a mess of their things after the state of the original Mario film.
But so we've got game films, right? And then we've got two films as well, which are the game films.
You know, you've got Five Nights at Freddy's. That was a film that was in development hell for quite a while.
Yeah. I remember being in primary school when that was announced.
I know, that just like just nuts, various new, and then they finally came out and it was like,
fine.
That was, we waited all that time for that.
So
that's
underwhelming.
I know, it was like, it was fine, but it just wasn't really anything,
the,
you know?
The
like,
Henson Creature Shop animatronics are really cool. And,
they're cool,
but, and like, it looks like they've stepped up the game even more for the trailer for the second one. Like,
I wouldn't say I'm not looking forward to it, but I'm definitely very skeptical because they did that with the first film.
I'm quite excited for the second one because, like, I always liked the second game, and that's and like you see a little glimpse of Mangle and the puppet and stuff like that, and they look really cool. And they've said as much in interviews that they've heard what people like complained about with the original. Yeah. And they've taken that into account, and they've done a lot more of a horror focus this time around.
And
so
it's also going to be newcomer friendly, but I've heard too.
Which is good.
Yeah. The second one's where the story really kicks off as well. So I'm hoping it's very good, and it doesn't go down the stupid route they went later with the Remnant and the Child
I don't think they're going to go like as far as You know, yeah. the mimic did all this, and
yeah.
or William Afton's harvesting remnant from the people that he kills. It's like, it's just, it's nonsense. Just people come to this for haunted, possessed animatronics.
Yeah,
who are like, it's scary. It's scary, Chuck E. Cheese.
And, just, and you also, know, and also, well, William Afton now because of Shaggy.
Yeah, yeah, everyone loves him.
Matthew Lillard's really good, and I'm quite excited to see him do more. I mean, I thought he was really good in the first one as well.
I know, he was the only reason to do in the first one.
Yeah, yeah. He was the only reason why I didn't go insane watching the first one.
I liked the first one. It didn't like blow me away or anything.
It felt a bit confusing to like anyone who wasn't knowledgeable on it, because like you've got Matthew Lillard at the start, and he's like he works in the job center and you know whatever, and then it gets, he's not in it for the rest of it, and then he shows up in the third act and he walks out and he's wearing the spring Bonnie suit. It's like, what, why are you evil now? What's going on?
Job center bloke. Yeah. Costume.
I've never really thought of it like that before.
That's a good point. Yeah,
he's not even, I don't think they say that he is
purple guy.
Yeah, before that he's just like whatever she's called, Vanessa. She's like, oh, Vanessa. My dad, he owned the place and he killed all these kids. And then he just shows up like, the job centre guy, what? Why?
Yeah. And that's it, isn't it? It's the same thing in all these, I think, video game films. They always struggle to try and make good human characters because, generally speaking, nobody really cares that much about the human characters.
The thing is, that character that I've heard is he's very lore-heavy and very... by what I've heard from people, very interesting.
Yeah, Springtrap and William Afton is like the most interesting part of the games, and like for me, it sort of died off once his story was finished. They've tried to continue it, but it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
But like you say with the human characters, people come to these for the video game stuff, not for these human characters invented
for Josh Hutcherson, not for struggling to hold a job and keep custody of his daughter or whatever.
Mike in the games is not the same as Mike in the films, and it's the same with Vanessa. It's like a completely... Yeah. It's like how...
Were they characters in the games?
Yeah, they were.
Really? Oh my
God. I think Vanessa was...
Vanessa's the security guard still, but that's in like a much later game, and Mike is William Afton's son in the games.
Oh,
isn't
really?
He the one who gets... he's the one who gets...
But I'm not going to go into a full... Fire Nights at Freddy's lore thing. I'll tell you later. Yeah, but anyway, it's just... He's like... William Afton's son in the games. Vanessa's like completely unrelated. She gets possessed by William Afton or whatever.
Not get possessed in these games? Why is everybody getting bloody possessed?
But then in the films, they're just sort of generic characters. They might expand on them, they might not. Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's the same with Minecraft. You've got like all these generic characters that nobody cares about. Like, who cares about Dawn and whatever she's called? Emma Myers' character. Like, nothing happens with them. Mm-hmm. The little kid, he was annoying.
Oh, I hate it.
The only tolerable human character in that, aside from Steve, is what's he got? Garrett.
Garrett the garbage man.
Thingamajig, whatever he's just called. Hamming it up to unbelievable levels, and it just makes it entertaining.
This is my whole problem with the Minecraft movie, because I know you kind of liked it. I fucking hate it.
I didn't like it.
I thought it was terrible.
It is terrible, but I was entertained.
It was entertaining when you're watching it with the audience, but when you're watching it by yourself.
If I watched it at home with no one around,
I'd be torture.
I'd be on my phone,
But I was sat in just sheer disbelief. Like, I was sat there, and you know, I was already laughing before the film even started, but like, a cube wolf's walking around the human world. Like, what is going on?
You threw a cracker with that one bit, didn't you?
Yeah.
the flying bit.
Well, yeah, because he flies in on the jetpack.
The man sandwich.
But then, even before that, it's just like, he walks to school and it's called Chugless.
I was going to say that. This is what I mean. This is why part of the reason why I hated it so much was because in these films, they usually have like the normal world and then they go to the like weird video game
world. Already weird before
weird stuff happens, but it was already far too weird before they got to the mic.
It's like just a massive potato thing.
Chugless Chip or whatever he's called. The mascot bloke who the kid launches a fucking missile at him and like blows the factory up.
Minecraft the War Criminal.
Square dog that no one mentions in the whole town. Soon he's like an urban legend or something. Like,
I know.
Jennifer Coolidge is a villager. Questioned at all.
And the villager's Matt Berry as well.
This is what I mean. Like, it's just everything about it. It was too weird for its own good, because it was like, once they got to the Minecraft world, I was like, oh my God, thank Christ. It's like something slightly...
The Napoleon Dynamite it too hard.
Yeah, exactly that. It was like they were trying too hard to make it strange and like... You know, it just means when they get to that transition, it's not weird anymore. It's like, oh, this is like...
Finally everything's normal.
Finally everything's back to normal, and then fucking Jack Black shows up, and you're like, oh, man, and then it's back to being weird.
There's that one horrifying bit, like, it goes so strange on the effect.
They start eating the sheep.
They start ripping the sheep apart.
What?
Yeah, well, it's when the first turns at night, and the zombies, there's like a sheep, and they're ripping it apart, and it's like squealers. What is this? It's a kid's film.
The zombies actually kind of scared me, you know, because of how human they look. The human bodies, they've got massive,
the square.
They've got human bodies and they're animated really, really well, right? But they've got massive
they're
square
green
heads.
And they're square.
And it looks so
real. I
think
I kind of know what you mean. They like move
they've
more
got human,
human
arms and legs, right?
No, they don't. They're square.
No, the heads are square. They've got hands.
They do have, yeah, they do have hands, which they didn't never had in the video. They don't have like the spatula solid hands.
Then you have the creepers, which... By the way,
oh, the creeper was barely in it.
Yeah,
creepy. I mean, there's like one bit in the cave, but like this is what I was saying. I sat and watched it with Brooke, and there was one point where I couldn't take it anymore because like every single line said like it was just like fucking noise, yeah. Like every line of dialogue.
Well, did you not have the funny audience?
I had the funny audience. So yeah, so I'm catching popcorn to the back of their head. Jason Momoa and Jack Black like man sandwich. It was like an assault on the senses. It was like my head was battered, uh-huh. And I couldn't do it. So there was I can't even remember what the dialogue was, but there's like one bit, there's like a bit where they're like going to a cave of diamonds, oh. And it's just, and he's like, oh man, tell me your problems, get me, it's just stop making noise.
Jared, like he didn't change the tone of voice at the whole film. No. I really like his performance, and him and Jason Moore had a whole thing going on.
They
were in on that. No one else was in on that.
Yeah, they were in on that, and the fact that they have this weird gay bromance thing is like kind of
that's
weird.
That's the most entertaining
part of the whole film, but then you still have these like fucking fostered children who are meant to be the main characters, this alpaca lady who I'm like, I don't get
the
it.
The girl from Peacemaker, pretty much.
It's so strange.
Well, I wouldn't say pretty much it is the girl from Peacemaker.
Yeah. She doesn't have enough of a personality to distinguish her from that character in Peacemaker, so that's what she is.
Yeah. I hated it. I'm sorry. It was so stupid, but I mean, I'm entertained by the thought of it, and discussing it is quite fun, but like, and you know, like I say, the experience of seeing it in the cinema with everybody clapping and going completely berserk.
I feel bad for the kids
happens,
in front of us where some, like my friend kicked the kid's chair.
Jesus Christ. Launched him into the screen.
There's bits of it where it feels like a real film. And I'm thinking, I would have loved that if I was a kid. I would have like been head over heels with this film. I would have watched it every day.
I don't, but like,
me mom and dad crazy.
I don't even think I would have liked it if I was a kid because I think it would have been. It's one of those films where like it feels like it would have been an awesome like straight to DVD animated.
That's
film.
The vibe it
like,
gives.
You know,
yeah.
Like you know, like those like Bionicle films, or like that kind of thing.
Like
where,
flowers.
Like, it's
and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's got that kind of plot and that kind of concept, but it's got these A-list actors. You know, terrible acting. Really, like the whole thing is trying to sort of be like a you know a big budget blockbuster film, but it's just. Not
because Minecraft, you can't adapt.
It's
that.
Minecraft, you can't adapt that into a big budget. And I mean, you know, the look of it is spot on. I think when they go to the Minecraft world,
yeah,
it looks like Minecraft, and it's really cool. And they have all of the little nods and Easter eggs. And there's like quite a lot, like the bit when they're in the in the mansion. There's like the Enderman and stuff.
Oh, that
like,
was good.
That was pretty cool. You know,
they're setting up a sequel. The Herobrine reference.
Are they?
Yes.
Are they not
adapting Herobrine for a sequel? He was never real.
I think, yeah.
They've nodded to it anyway.
It was a reference.
They've nodded to it.
But yeah.
I'm really happy about that anyway.
The only video game movie I think I disliked seeing in the cinema more was Borderlands. That was, desperate.
You know my reaction to that.
But Borderlands, your Letterboxd review of Borderlands is genuinely one of the funniest things I've ever read.
I was so done. I was legitimately in McDonald's.
It was more entertaining than the film itself. I wish I'd just read that review and stayed away, but I didn't.
I'm such like a big fan of the Borderlands lore up until 3.
Okay.
Because 3 is terrible. But like the movie for me felt like a bastardization of everything I love.
Bastardization?
It is!
Bastardization.
It is like so bad because it just throws so much everything at it.
It was really bad.
I can't do this episode anymore.
Sorry.
Right.
Junk.
out, Mandy.
This has just gone completely off the rails.
Well, I think that's all the high scoring we have time for. What are your favourite video game films? Let us know at cineclub.podcast@sparksunderland.com.
Or you can contact us at @thecineclubpodcast_spark on Instagram, @the.cineclub.podcast on TikTok, or The Cine Club Podcast on Facebook. Another way to keep up to date on all the latest Cine Club developments.
As always, this episode was recorded and produced by us, the Sunderland University students, as well as being edited by Emily Main. Special thanks to Steve Cannon, Barbara Sadler, and Richard Berry. A reminder that our four arcade dwellers this week have consisted of me, Billy,
me, Reese,
me, Dion,
and me, Jake. This has been a Cine Club production for Spark. Thanks for listening.